Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I'd love to talk today about content authenticity. And this actually dovetails with topics we've covered a lot in the last few weeks. So I think this is a great time. We've talked about the kind of weird idea that a big concern for everyone in the near future, and already arguably, is proving that things are real. We talked about steganography, and we talked about watermarking and AI. We talked about synthes, and I mentioned how I generally support the idea with my reservation that there's definitely a big privacy concern there, and there's a definite lack of transparency about how the watermarking is being implemented. But yes, I appreciate the idea and support it so long as personally identifiable user information is safeguarded and the AI companies are transparent with users about what their safeguards around that are. But on the other side of it, we have, beyond just saying that, you know, this is AI generated, we can't actually even rely upon the lack of that synthed or other watermarking, because we come back so frequently to the analogy of the cat and the mouse. The mouse is already running around the circle here. We talked about synthed reversal tools, tools that basically, even though the stamping is invisible, I figured out ways to remove that. So proving reality actually is almost requires a higher standard of proof, and the Content Authenticity Initiative, or CAI, which does sound something a little bit like out of a George Orwell novel, is actually 6 years old from what I read on the internet. That surprised me. And it's doing great work to bring about a standardized format for authenticity data. I mentioned that in my landlord dispute tenancy issue, where I had to document that a leak in property damage was not being remediated. I used Proof Mode, which is one of the apps they recommend. And it's a brilliant, brilliant tool that I have recommended to friends and anyone who needs to document things reliably. But that's only one such tool. If you look for evidence apps, these have frequently been the purview of law enforcement. But we seem to be seeing, and I think it's overdue, that these are being, you know, rolled out to consumers, whistleblowers, anyone really who needs to say that this was authentic. And the standard from what I saw, that the CAI, they have an open source SDK available in Python, Node.js, and a whole bunch of languages. So there's really nothing stopping anyone who finds this topic interesting from going ahead and developing their own authenticity camera. That's, I think, a hugely powerful thing, and a huge something I find very encouraging as a privacy advocate. This isn't a closed source, you know, shady ecosystem of special cameras you only get from a certain vendor. It's really open for anyone to go out and do. But they have Sony has joined the initiative, and that's really significant because in my experience, at least, Sony has a great reputation in, particularly in this field of evidence gathering. The Sony ICD range of DVRs is very well regarded for this use. And they also have they sell to law enforcement. When you see forensics photographers taking photographs frequently using Sony gear. So for this application, the standard is that it can be done at the hardware level, which brought to mind those modules, I forget what they're called. You guys will know, trust security modules that basically work at the hardware level or the motherboard level or the firmware level. So the idea with these cameras that are certified in this way is that rather than having consumers install a kind of obscure app, they're doing that authenticity certification at the hardware level. And we talked in previous episodes, this really actually kind of brings in a whole bunch of topics from our last maybe 50 episodes. We talked about checksums. There's another good project called Open Timestamps, and all that metadata in the chain of custody, the kind of foundational rules are metadata rich. You capture it. You capture it. Immutable. You don't change it. And checksums, you validate that a later copy of it hasn't been tampered with in any way, and then were media, etc. So I'd like to get into that, Herman and Korn. Do you think that the future of content authenticity, which I predict and I think already is becoming a huge area, is going to be hardware level, and that we're going to see this rolled out to basically every smartphone with a camera app, and therefore these current evidence gathering apps will maybe be obsolete, or we'll just see them used by law enforcement who have a very high standard? Or is the future going to be mixed? And what other manufacturers are we seeing adopting this standard? And if I wanted to develop something with their SDK, what could I create? Herman and Corin, let's talk about the niche but very relevant topic of authenticity certification and the emerging standards of the CAI.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are coming to you from our usual spot here in Jerusalem, and I have to say, the air feels a bit more grounded today than the digital world does. I am Korn, and as always, I am joined by my brother and resident technical deep diver.
Herman Poppleberry, ready and waiting. And you are right about the digital world, Korn. It feels like every time we refresh our feeds, the line between what is real and what is a very convincing hallucination gets a little blurrier.
It really does. And that is exactly what our housemate Daniel was getting at with the prompt he sent over this morning. He was asking about the Content Authenticity Initiative, or the CAI, and the technical standards that are trying to give us a way to actually prove that a photo or a video is what it says it is.
It is a perfect follow-up to our recent discussions on steganography and those invisible AI watermarks. But Daniel pointed out something crucial. Watermarking AI is one thing, but proving reality is a much higher bar. It is the difference between saying this was made by a machine and being able to prove this was captured by a human in a specific place at a specific time.
Exactly. And Daniel mentioned that Soli recently joined the initiative in a big way, bringing authenticity certification down to the hardware level. So today we are going to dig into the C2PA standard, the hardware shift we are seeing in cameras and smartphones, and what this means for the future of trust.
I love this topic because it is not just a software patch. We are talking about silicon level trust. We are talking about a world where the camera itself becomes a notary.
So let us start with the basics for a second. We have mentioned the CAI and C2PA. For the people who might be hearing these acronyms for the first time or getting them mixed up, how do they fit together?
That is a great place to start because they are often used interchangeably, but they have distinct roles. The Content Authenticity Initiative, or CAI, is the broad industry group. It was founded back in 2019 by Adobe, the New York Times, and Twitter, which is now X. Their goal was to create a system for digital provenance. Think of it as the community and the vision. Now, the C2PA stands for the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. That is the formal standards body that actually writes the technical specifications. If the CAI is the club, the C2PA is the rulebook.
And that rulebook has been around for about 6 years now, which is surprisingly long in tech years. But it feels like it is only just now hitting the mainstream. Daniel mentioned Sony's recent involvement. Why is that such a turning point?
Sony's move is massive because they are essentially the king of the professional imaging world. They did not just join the committee, they started shipping actual hardware-level solutions. Just this past October, in 2025, Sony launched what they called the industry's first video-compatible camera authenticity solution. This includes a new camcorder, the PXW-Z300, which can embed C2PA signatures directly into video files at the point of capture.
Wait, so it is not just a digital signature added later in an app? It is happening inside the camera's guts while the sensor is recording.
Exactly. It is happening in the camera's secure processing environment. They are using what they call a digital signature upgrade license. It is currently aimed at news organizations and broadcasters. They have been testing this with the BBC to validate video content. And it is not just that one camcorder. Sony rolled out firmware updates in January of 2025 for their flagship mirrorless cameras, the Alpha 1, the Alpha 1 Mark II, and the Alpha 9 Mark III. These updates allow those cameras to cryptographically sign images as they are written to the memory card.
That is fascinating because it addresses the chain of custody problem. If you take a photo and then send it to a news desk, how do they know you did not run it through a generative filler or an AI enhancer in between? If the signature happens at the sensor level, any change after that breaks the seal.
Precisely. It creates a tamper-evident audit trail. If you open a signed file and even one pixel has been modified, the checksum will not match, and the manifest will show that the content's integrity has been compromised. Sony is even using 3D depth data in some of their signatures. They can verify that the image was a real 3D scene and not a flat screen being rephotographed.
That is a clever way to stop the old trick of just taking a photo of a fake image on a monitor. But Daniel's prompt also touched on a big question. Will this stay a professional tool, or is it coming to the smartphones in our pockets?
It is already arriving. We should talk about the Google Pixel 10. Google released the Pixel 10 series late last year, and they made a huge deal about it being the first smartphone lineup to have content credentials built in across every photo created by the native camera app.
I remember seeing that. They're using the Tensor G5 chip and the Titan M2 security chip for this, right?
Right. And this is where it gets technical. The Pixel 10 achieved what is called Assurance Level 2 in the C2PA conformance program that is currently the highest security rating for a mobile app. Most software-only solutions are Level 1. To get to Level 2, you need that hardware-backed security. Google is using Android Key Attestation to prove that the signature is coming from a genuine physical Pixel device and not an emulator or a hacked piece of software.
So when I take a photo on a Pixel 10, it is not just adding metadata like my location and shutter speed. It is actually sealing that data with a hardware key.
Yes, and it includes what they call a trusted timestamp. This is really cool, Korn. Usually, your phone's clock can be manually changed. But the Pixel 10 uses a hardware-backed secure clock to ensure the timestamp is accurate, even if the device is offline, so you cannot fake the time of an event. It also adds a specific label called computational capture.
Computational capture. Most people probably do not realize that every smartphone photo today is already a heavy piece of math. It is merging multiple frames, adjusting colors, and sharpening edges. Does that count as a modification?
That is the brilliance of the C2PA manifest. It does not say modification is bad, it just provides transparency. The manifest will explicitly state that the image was created via computational capture. If you then use one of those AI tools to move a person in the frame or change the sky, the manifest updates to say edited using generative AI. The goal isn't to stop people from editing, it is to make sure the viewer knows what they are looking at. It is like a nutrition label for pixels.
I like that analogy, but here is where I see a potential friction point. If everyone starts expecting these digital nutrition labels, what happens to people using older devices? Or what happens to the apps Daniel mentioned, like Proof Mode, which were designed to gather evidence in the field?
That is a great question. Daniel was wondering if these apps would become obsolete. I actually think it is the opposite. I think they're going to become more specialized and more powerful. Take Proof Mode, which is developed by the Guardian Project. They have already integrated the C2PA toolkits into their apps. In April of 2025, they even partnered with an app called Cutting Room Reporter to bring these features to mobile journalists.
So if the hardware is doing it anyway, why would a journalist still use an app like Proof Mode?
Because Proof Mode does more than just sign the image. It captures what they call rich metadata. It is not just the time and place. It is the light sensor data, the Wi-Fi networks and range, the cellular tower IDs, and even the barometric pressure. It creates a much denser web of evidence that is harder to spoof than just a simple image signature. For human rights activists or legal teams, that extra layer of context is vital. Hardware-level C2PA is the baseline, but these evidence-gathering apps are the high-resolution version of trust.
That makes sense. It is like the difference between a standard receipt and a notarized contract. Both prove a transaction happened, but one holds up a lot better under intense scrutiny.
Exactly. And there is also the privacy aspect. One of the things I love about the CAI approach is that it is designed to be private by default. When Google implemented it on the Pixel 10, they used a private by design certificate management system. It prevents people from being able to link different images to the same user or device across the internet. You get the proof of authenticity without a permanent digital tracking number attached to your identity.
That is a delicate balance to strike. You want to prove the image is real, but you do not necessarily want to dox the photographer, especially in sensitive situations.
Precisely. Now, Daniel also asked about other manufacturers. We have talked about Sony and Google, but the circle is widening. Leica was actually the pioneer here. They released the M11-P back in late 2023 as the world's first camera with content credentials built in. Since then, they have added it to the M11-D and the SL3.
And what about the other big names? Nikon and Canon?
They are moving, though a bit more deliberately. Nikon released a massive firmware update, version 2.0, for the Z6 Mark III in August of last year. That update opened up their Nikon Authenticity service to everyone, not just professional agencies. It allows the Z6 Mark III to sign images with C2PA-compliant credentials. Canon also announced support for the EOS R1 and the R5 Mark II. It is becoming a standard feature for any high-end professional body.
It feels like we are reaching a tipping point where, if you are a professional photographer and your camera does not support C2PA, your work might eventually be viewed with a bit of skepticism by major publishers.
I think that is exactly where we are heading. It is going to become a requirement for wire services like the Associated Press or Agence France Press. In fact, AFP was one of the early testers of this tech with Nikon. They realized that in a world of deepfakes, their reputation is their only product. If they can't prove their photos are real, they don't have a business.
Let us talk about the developer side for a minute. Daniel mentioned the open source SDK. If I'm a developer and I want to build something using the CAI tools, what does that actually look like?
It is actually quite accessible. The CAI has done a great job of making sure you do not have to be a cryptography expert to use this. Their SDK is available on GitHub and through their verification site. It supports C++, Python, Node.js, and Rust. There are even specific libraries for Android and iOS.
What kind of things could someone build with that, beyond just another camera app?
Oh, the possibilities are huge. Imagine a social media platform that automatically displays a little verified icon next to any image that has a valid C2PA manifest. Or a web browser extension that lets you hover over any image on a news site to see exactly where it came from and if it was edited. Developers can build tools to parse these manifests, display the history of the file, and even verify the signatures against a list of trusted certificate authorities.
I could see this being huge for something like online marketplaces. If you are buying a used car or a piece of jewelry, you could see a signed photo from the seller that proves the item was actually in their possession at a specific time. No more stock photos or three-year-old pictures being passed off as current.
That is a brilliant use case. It is all about reducing the cost of trust. Right now, trust is expensive. We have to hire inspectors or use third-party escrows. If the data itself can prove its own history, everything gets more efficient. You could even build a plugin for something like WordPress that automatically checks every image uploaded to a blog and warns the editor if the provenance is missing or broken.
It really feels like we are building a new layer of the internet. We had the original web of information, then the social web, and now we are building the web of provenance.
I like that. The provenance web. And it is not just for images. The C2PA standard is designed to handle audio and video as well. We are going to see this in digital documents too. Imagine a world where every government PDF is cryptographically signed at the source, so you know for a fact it hasn't been altered by a third party.
It is interesting that this is all open source. Daniel pointed that out as a big plus. Why is openness so important for a standard like this?
Because if it were a closed system owned by one company, it would never be a global standard. No one wants Adobe or Microsoft to be the sole arbiters of truth. By making it open source and based on open standards, it allows for interoperability. A photo taken on a Sony camera can be edited in Photoshop, then viewed in a Google Chrome browser, and the manifest stays intact and verifiable the whole way through. That only works if everyone is playing by the same open rulebook.
It is the same reason the internet itself succeeded. It wasn't a proprietary network. It was a set of open protocols.
Exactly. And we are seeing that ecosystem grow. There are now over 6,000 members in the CAI. It includes everyone from hardware makers like ARM and Qualcomm to software giants like Microsoft and even human rights organizations like Witness. It is a massive, diverse coalition that is all pushing in the same direction.
So, looking ahead, do you think we will eventually reach a point where every smartphone has this? Not just the high-end Pixels and iPhones, but the budget models too.
I do. I think it will follow the same path as things like encryption or GPS. It starts as a premium feature for pros and early adopters, then it gets baked into the mobile chipsets themselves. Qualcomm has already started working with TruePic to integrate C2PA support into their Snapdragon processors. Once it is in the silicon that goes into hundreds of millions of mid-range phones, it becomes the default. In 5 years, a camera app that doesn't sign its images will feel as outdated as a phone without a camera.
It is a bit of a double-edged sword, though, isn't it? On one hand, we get a more truthful digital world. On the other hand, we create a world where, if you can't prove you are real, you are assumed to be fake.
That is the big societal shift you have to navigate. We are moving from a world where we assumed things were real until proven otherwise, to a world where we might assume everything is synthetic unless it comes with a digital receipt. It is a bit cynical, but in a world where A, I can generate a perfect video of almost anything, it might be the only way to maintain a shared reality.
It is a heavy thought, but I suppose that is why these standards are being built now, before the flood of synthetic content completely overwhelms us.
Exactly. We are building the levees before the storm hits, and the good news is that the levees are actually looking pretty strong. Between the hardware-level signing and cameras like the Sony PXW-Z300, the smartphone integration in the Pixel 10, the infrastructure for trust is finally being deployed.
It is definitely a space to watch, and for our listeners who are developers or just tech curious, I really recommend checking out the SDK and the verification tools at verify.contentauthenticity.org. It is actually really cool to take a photo from a supported device and see the whole manifest pop up. It makes the invisible visible.
It really does. You can see the thumbnail of the original capture, the list of edits, and the cryptographic signatures. It is like looking under the hood of a digital file.
Well, I think we have covered a lot of ground here. From the silicon in our phones to the camcorders in newsrooms, the battle for reality is getting a very technical upgrade.
It really is. And I have to say, I'm feeling a bit more optimistic about it than I was a year ago. The fact that this is all happening in the open and across so many different companies is a great sign.
I agree. It is a rare moment of industry-wide collaboration for the greater good. So, thanks to Daniel for sending in that prompt. It really forced us to look at the progress that's been made while we were busy looking at other things.
Definitely. And hey, if you're out there listening and you find these deep dives into the plumbing of the internet interesting, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have been enjoying My Weird Prompts, a quick rating or review on Spotify or your favorite podcast app really does help the show reach new people. We appreciate all of you who have been with us for these nearly 300 episodes.
It is a lot of talking, Corn, but there is always more to explore.
There always is. You can find us at our website, myweirdprompts.com, where we have the full archive and a contact form if you want to send us a prompt of your own.
Or just to say hi. We like that too.
All right, that's it for us today. This has been My Weird Prompts. We will be back next week with another exploration of the strange, the technical, and the deeply human.
Until next time, stay curious and maybe check the metadata on that next viral video you see.
Good advice. Bye, everyone.
Take care.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.